Please notice with me as we turn to the book of Acts, chapter 16. Now, verse 28 is going to be our text this morning, but I want to begin in verse 25 to pick up the context. Now, notice with me as we read from verse 25. What I want to do this morning, I want to preach a message titled Suicide. Back in 2005, I preached a message on this. And also wrote an article, that's 14 years ago. We do not have that sermon online, so I'm going to re-preach it. I'm actually going to follow this article almost in detail. And I love to be able, when somebody asks me a question about something, to be able to put a sermon and some printed material in their hands. And I get asked quite often about this subject, and I'm sure it'll be a blessing to you as well. Reading from verse 25, "And at midnight Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prisoner, awakening out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Then he called for a light and sprang in and trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas and brought them out and said, Sirs, what must I do to be saved? They said, Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved in thy house. They spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his, and straightway, verse 34 now, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house." Heavenly Father, we do come before thee this morning, and we ask for your anointing and blessing to be upon the reading of Holy Scripture. And Father, we ask this morning that thy will to be done, and Lord, help us to come into a better understanding of this subject. And Father, we just ask now that your will to be done. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And you may be seated. My first funeral that I did around 1985 was a believer who had been faithful to church, struggling with health issues. The doctor having this individual on the wrong medication, and he took his life. I'm going to mention him two other times in this sermon. I had moved to Central Alabama to become pastor. I don't remember what day we got there, Thursday, Friday, somewhere along in that week. I preached that Sunday. I did not really know this person, but I had seen them and met them a few times. But my first Sunday in this church, I preached. This individual was there. And the next day, this individual took his life. And so I will say a little bit more about this situation in a few moments. So I was introduced to this subject with my first funeral. Now, when we come to this subject, you'll notice that in verse 28, we find here that the Apostle Paul cried with a loud voice, saying to the Philippian jailer, he said, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. He cried unto this man that was going to take his own life. He said, do thyself no harm. Suicide is bringing harm to oneself. Now, when we come to this subject, we find that worldwide, there's over 1 million that take their lives every year. And that's staggering when you think about it. You may ask, why preach on this subject? Well, for a number of reasons, I'm asked about it often. Not only that, we need to know the truth about it. We also need to be able to help others when it comes to this subject. I've talked people out of suicide and led them to the Lord. And also, we've all have been touched by this in one way or the other. It's either happened in families or friends or neighbors or someone that we know. I could give you a long list of those that I know or know of that have committed suicide. We find that the global suicide rate is 16 per 100,000 population. On the average, one person dies by suicide every 40 seconds somewhere in the world. Global suicide rates have increased about 60% over the last 50 years. 1.8% of the worldwide deaths are suicide. This year already, as of 9 o'clock this morning, because the thing is continuously ticking, this year, 2019, February, this year, as of this morning, there has already been 139,000 suicides in the world. And we're just into the middle of February. In the United States, suicide is the 10th leading cause of death. The average suicide rate is an average of 13 deaths per 100,000 population. On the average, about 123 suicides a day in the United States. So suicide is up about 25% from 1990 to 2015. In 2014, there were 42,773 suicides. In 2015, there were 44,193 suicides. In 2016, there were 44,965 suicides, and I didn't even check the last 2 years. The statistics in the article are 14 years old, but they still show a staggering problem in this area. And I'll make this mention also, is that on the average, 22 veterans in the United States commit suicide every day. That is a total of about 8,000 a year. And that's phenomenal. That's very staggering when you think about it. That in our own country, there's 22 veterans that take their lives every day, and there's an average of 123 people in our country that kill themselves every day, and there's thousands of attempts of suicide that they're not successful with. Now, in the Bible, there's at least seven suicides. And we find in Judges 9:54, Abimelech, he committed suicide. It looks like the motive was pride. He was the son of Gideon. He had reigned over the children of Israel for 3 years. He had killed 70 people of his own father's house. And once he was found out, the tables kind of turned on him. And he was very desirous to be a king and to be exalted and have an exalted position. But he took his own life. Samson, we read about him in Judges 16:30. His motive was revenge. And he judged Israel for 20 years, pulled pillars upon himself and others. Of course, he is mentioned in Hebrews 11:32 in the list of heroes of faith. And he had a noble beginning, but a sad ending. Another man by the name of Saul, King Saul, 1 Samuel 31:4, he took his life. The motive was fear. He is king over Israel for 40 years. He feared the consequences of failure. He feared being killed even by the enemy. He took his own life. And Saul's, the fourth one is Saul's armor bearer in 1 Samuel 31:5, the very next verse. And that was motivated by loyalty. And he committed suicide as well, being loyal to his leader. Another man in 2 Samuel 17, verse 23, hanged himself, Ahithophel. The motive here was disappointment and failure. He lost his influence, foresaw that his plans had come to be a failure. He is at one time a private counselor to David. He left David and joined Absalom. He was a great thinker. He was famous in politics. He was a wise and trusted advisor at one time, but he ended up taking his life. He hanged himself. Zimrah in 1 Kings 16:18, killed himself. The motive here was probably hopelessness. He was the fifth king of the northern kingdom, and he seized the throne, and he reigned, I think, only 7 days. He also encouraged Israel to sin after the way of Jeroboam, killed himself. Then, of course, Judas is carried in the New Testament in Matthew 27, verses 1 through 5, and his motive was guilt. He betrayed the Lord Jesus, a horrible crime, and he was in hell immediately after his suicide. So now let us notice here as we come to this passage, and I'm reading from verse 28 one more time before we turn away. We're going to be turning to the Old Testament. But notice here, we find in verse 28, and the setting, the verses, the context I just read, is that the jailer had awoke out of sleep. He thought the prisoners had escaped, and he attempted to take his own life, even drew his sword. And we find that he probably would have faced execution from his leaders, the authorities, by the prisoners supposedly escaping. But we find here in verse 28, it says, "But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, Do thyself no harm." And so the Apostle Paul, by the Word of God and by the Spirit of God, convinced this man not to take his own life, and he became gloriously saved, him and his family, and he trusted the Lord Jesus, and we see the end result of that in the verses that we have just read. And I've had the opportunity. There's one person that I led to the Lord in this same town that I was mentioning a moment ago that is serving the Lord to this day, that they were going to commit suicide. I met with them and spoke with them. They accepted Christ as their Savior. And so there's sad stories, and there's some also happy stories of people that had gotten to this point. Would you turn with me to Exodus and notice with me, I have a 3-point outline that we put in the article 14 years ago. I'm going to stick with that. I couldn't think of anything any better. Notice in Exodus chapter 20. Now the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 7:16, "Why shouldest thou destroy thyself?" And the Bible also says in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 17, "Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time?" God has a set time for every one of us. And when a person takes their own life, they're dying before their time, before their appointed time. Now notice with me as we come here to this passage, our first point, as we have on the board and in the article if you want to get one, suicide, number one, is a sin against God. That's what we're going to look at first, beginning here in Exodus 20. Our second point is the fact that suicide is a sin against self. It's self-murder, no matter how you look at it. It is murder. And then number three, suicide is a sin, it's a grievous sin against others. And I'll explain that when we get to it. Now notice here in the book of Exodus, and I want to read one verse from this chapter, from the Ten Commandments that was given by Moses to the children of God, the church in the wilderness. And please notice with me as we come down to verse 13. Verse 13 is the sixth commandment. And we find here in verse 13, "Thou shalt not kill." The Lord Jesus speaks reference to this verse in Matthew 19:18, "Thou shalt do no murder." So we know what this verse means. This verse has to do with murder. Now, suicide is a violation of this sixth commandment. And in view of the fact that it is a violation of the sixth commandment, it is a sin against God because it's the breaking of one of God's commandments. This commandment, thou shalt not kill, prohibits murder, period. And it is just as wrong to kill oneself as it is to kill another. Suicide is the intentional killing of oneself. Homicide is the killing of another. Now notice in Genesis chapter 1, and notice the reason for this. I'm reading from Genesis chapter 1. There's a reason why that this is murder. There's a number of reasons, but one in particular, as I want you to see, is that we are created in the image of God. And we see the sanctity of life from Genesis 1 all the way through the scripture. Now notice as we come here to Genesis chapter 1, I want to read verse 26 and verse 27. Now there's a lot of other parallel verses. Genesis 5, 1 speaks of man created in the likeness of God. In Genesis chapter 9 and verse 6, we see this reiterated again in reference to the importance of man and his life and him being created in the image of God. We would see this again in Acts 17, verse 28 and 29. For in him we live. And you'd see it again in James chapter 3 and in verse 9. We're created in the similitude of God. When we think about this, even in Matthew 10, 30, the numbers of the hair on our head is numbered. God is concerned about his creation. In John 10 and verse 10, Jesus not only came to give us life, but to give it to us more abundantly. So God gives us physical life and eternal life. They're both a gift from God. Think about this. We speak of eternal life as a gift from God. It is. We see that clearly. Romans 3:23. And there's other places that we see that it is a gift of God. But physical life, every breath that we breathe is a gift from our Creator. Now, notice here in Genesis chapter 1, I'm going to read just a few verses. And we find in verse 26 and in verse 27, as I read this, notice that the commandment, thou shalt not kill, is based on the sanctity of life because God created us in his image. He said, verse 26 and 27, and God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness. Skip down with me to verse 27. And it says here, and so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And of course, verse 28, and God blessed them. So we are created in the image of God. Again, this is seen over and over in Holy Scripture. Turn with me now to the book of Job. Well, I'll tell you what, turn to Psalms 90. Let's go there, and I'll just give you the one in the book of Job. Notice with me in Psalms chapter 90. When we come to the Scripture, we see that the issue of life and death are determined by the Lord. Man's birth, his life, his death are all in the hands of God. If we serve God and walk with him, we'll not die one day, one minute, one second sooner than we should die. We can rest assured of that. And so it is the Lord that has estimated our life and the number of our years. So you can write down Job 14:5 clearly. In that passage, we see that the Lord is in charge and that he is in control of our life. That's Job 14 and in verse 5. And he says, so write down Psalms 139:16 also. Now, notice with me as we come to Psalms 90. And again, we see here the importance of the life the physical life that God has given to us. And again, my first point is simply suicide is a sin against God. It's murder. It is self-murder is what it is. So it is a sin. It is a breaking of the sixth commandment. It is a sin against the Creator. Now, as we look through the Scripture, and I'm going to read here in just a moment, but as we look through the Scripture, we know that suicide actually usurps the sovereignty and providence of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse 13. We also know that it robs the Lord of His glory in 1 Corinthians 10, 31. We also know that suicide shows unbelief in God, a lack of trust in His salvation, His deliverance, and His redemption. We also know that Job said in Job 13, verse 15, he said, though he slay me, I will trust him. Even in all of Job's losses, in all of his losses, he said, I will trust God. Now, Job felt like that he needed to die at this time going through all of this, but he said, I will trust the Lord. There's been a number of scriptural characters that have said, Lord, just take my life, but they didn't take their own life. In Philippians 2:12, we find that suicide basically shows no fear of God because it says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And in Ephesians 5:20, suicide shows a lack of thanksgiving or gratitude to God. Think about this. If God gave us this physical life and every breath that we take is a gift from God, well, when we read Ephesians 5:20, it says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to give thanks always for all things unto God. And so it shows a lack of thanksgiving and gratitude when somebody takes their own life. Now notice as we read here in Psalms, I'm reading from verse 10, and he says here, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, or it is soon cut off and we fly away. Notice in verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. He gives us the average life. Yes, people die before this, and yes, people live beyond this. But he gives us the average life, and then he says in verse 12, so teach us to number our days. Every day is precious in the eyes of the Lord, this physical life that he's given to us. We need to get up every morning and not only thank the Lord for our salvation, our eternal life, but we need to thank him for that we woke up and we can breathe on our own and just another day that God has given to us. It's a gift from God. And to take that life of another or ourselves is a grievous sin against God. This is very clear in the Scripture. The issue in life and death are determined by the Lord. They are in his hands. And we have not the right to take somebody else's life nor our own life. It's referred to as murder according to the sixth commandment. Now notice with me now as we come back to the New Testament, we're coming to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and we're going to come to our second point. Now notice with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Again, we've all been touched by this. We all know of people that's taken their life, either a coworker or a family member, a relative or a neighbor, or somebody that we've known that have taken their life. I could give you a long list of the people that I have known or known of that have taken their own life for various reasons. I'll give you some of those reasons in just a moment. But let's come to our second point. And that is, suicide is not only a sin against God, it is a sin against self. Remember the Apostle Paul told the Philippian jailer, he said, do thyself no harm. So when somebody takes their own life, they're doing harm to themselves. Suicide is a sin against our own body that God has given to us. Now notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we're going to pick our reading up and along about verse 19. We'll just read verse 19 and 20. And I'm kind of cutting into some text here this morning and not really taking the entire context just for the sake of our study. But notice here in this passage, he said in verse 19 and 20, "What, know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Now, I wouldn't need to turn to any other verse. I mean, this verse says that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And this verse says that we don't own ourselves. We belong to God. He created us, but not only did He create us, He redeemed us. He bought us with a price. And so He's saying to us that we're to glorify God in our body. And 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17 basically says the same thing. So as God has given to us eternal life, and that eternal life is very precious, and it is a gift from God, so has God given to us physical life. Again, every breath that we breathe is a gift from God. Because we're one breath and one heartbeat away from hell. People don't realize how close that we are to eternity. If they're lost, if they're saved, they're one heartbeat away from heaven. And most don't realize how close that we are to our eternal destiny one way or the other. Notice in Romans chapter 12, very familiar passage. Romans chapter 12. So our physical body belongs to God. We have not the right to take our own life. And again, we would not have to address this if we didn't see it in the scripture, and we didn't see so much of it in our own society. And it's on the rise in America, and it's on the rise in this world. And as Sister Joanna said earlier, the psalm we sang, Psalms 29, the last part of that, God will give unto His people peace. The key. I don't know of anybody that's taken their own life that had true peace. Now notice in Romans chapter 12, and here's the thing, we're told to present our body as a living sacrifice. How in the world can we be obedient to the verse I'm going to read and at the same time do harm to our own body, if we're to present it as a living sacrifice? Now notice as we come here, he said here in verse 1 and 2, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." I don't need to read the next verse, but notice that we're to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. If we do any kind of harm to our bodies, it could be drugs, alcohol, cigarettes, anything, marijuana, whatever, we cannot present it unto God as a living sacrifice. And surely, if somebody attempts or succeeds in taking their own life, they're violating this scripture. So I'm saying to you is that suicide is a sin against oneself as well as to God. Now notice in Matthew chapter 22, in the book of Matthew in chapter 22, and notice here, I'm reading from verse 34, Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. Now notice as we come to this passage, from verse 34 down to about verse 40, we have these words. He said, "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind.' This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Now, for the sake of our subject this morning, let me focus on the second commandment here. And notice that he says, love thy neighbor as thyself. Now, we do love ourselves, do we not? And so we're to love, you don't have to be taught to love yourself. And we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And if you're not to kill others, as the Bible says, if you're not to kill your neighbor, then you shouldn't kill yourself. We could reverse that around and look at it either way. And so suicide is a violation of the principle of this commandment here. Because God has placed in every one of us a self-preservation mindset. Now you've got to, and I'm going to talk about this in a moment, you have to really come to the end to take your own life. And I'm going to give you several reasons that people do this. But the thing about it is, God has placed this survival instinct inside of every one of us. He's put self-preservation within us. And we have a love for ourselves. This love that we already have for ourselves is to be extended to our neighbor. In other words, it's as wrong to take our own lives as it is to take our neighbor's life. So we find the Good Samaritan in Luke chapter 10 that a brother that preached here last week talked about. And we find that he loved his neighbor as himself. We see that very clearly by doing for his neighbor what he would do for himself to survive and to stay alive. So we are, this love that we have for ourselves is to be extended to our neighbor. So suicide violates this commandment here again, because the love that we have is to be extended to our neighbor, and we, if and the love that God has put into us, this self-preservation, we're not to take our own life. We're not to do ourselves or our neighbor any harm. And not only that, when we look at stewardship in the Bible, stewardship is mentioned in 1 Corinthians 4, the first two verses. It's mentioned in 1 Peter 4:10, and then there's an entire section in Luke 16, the first 13 verses on stewardship, and there's other places. But stewardship is much more than just maybe material possessions. It also can be associated with our physical life. God has given us this physical life, and we're to be stewards over that. Well, notice with me now as we come to John chapter 13. In John chapter 13, and let's come to our third point. First point, suicide is a sin against God. Second point, suicide is a sin against self. And number three, suicide is a sin against others. Now, this is as important as any other part of this message. Now, notice we're coming to John chapter 13. I want to read about three verses from this passage. Now, I want you to think this through. We know clearly that suicide is a sin against God. It's a breaking of His commandments, and the fact that we're created in His image and so forth. We know that is a sin against our own selves when we do ourselves. When people take drugs and alcohol, they're doing harm to themselves. When a person takes their life, it is self-murder. They're doing harm to themselves. But this extends beyond self and just God. This extends into the whole family circle and friends, and this includes a lot of people when somebody takes their life. And in one sense of the word, and I understand that how people get to the point of this, I understand that, but it is very selfish. They're not even thinking of anybody else. Okay? And what it does to it leaves a lot of unanswered questions among the survivors. I'm telling you, I've watched it and I've seen it many times, and it causes many emotions in the survivors, whether it be the immediate family or friends or co-workers. It can leave them with guilt and shame and hurt and pain because they don't understand why this person did this. Could they have stopped it? Could they have helped them? Or are they the cause of it? It causes grief and anguish. And when it's many times spouse and children involved, it causes financial burden upon them. Now, let me come back to my story I started with and give you another example. And I'm going to come back in a few moments and give you a third example. My second church that I pastored, and this has been about 1985. This man, again, I took the church. I'd been there 2 or 3 days. Preached the first time in this congregation, and this man sitting in this congregation took his life the next day. Now, there's much more of a story to this, but he took his life the very next day. I knew of him. I had met him. I met him a few times before, but I did not really know him. So through the course of this, his daughter was the one that found him, his 18-year-old daughter. This man had left the doctor's office and come home and went into his home and took his life with a pistol. He laid down on his bed, put it side of his head, and pulled the trigger. His daughter, 18-year-old daughter, that was in our church, she found him. Police came. I was probably immediately after the police, I walked in. I seen him laying there. And I'm going to say a little bit more about that in a moment. But what we seen that this did to this young lady, 18 years of age, this... And she was living with her father. They had been divorced. He's divorced. Living with her father. Loved her father. And I believe he loved her. And we seen the devastation that took place in her life. We actually moved her into our home for about 3 months after that until she was married. And so this is never done alone. Somebody takes their life. They sin against God. They sin against themselves. They do themselves harm. But they're also harming many, many other people. The Bible says to love one another, to consider one another, to serve one another, to have compassion toward one another, to comfort one another, to admonish one another. I've got a sermon titled One Another's. Now notice as we read in our text, we find here in chapter 13, this is the upper room. We've been studying this on Wednesday night, verse 33 through 35. It says, "Little children, yet a little while I am with you, ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whether I go, you cannot come. So now I say to you, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." So we are to love one another. And by loving one another, we're not to commit this sin that we're talking about here this morning, because it hurts the heart of God, but it hurts the lives of those that are family, friends, church members, or whatever the case that it may be. So this is a sin against family and friends and others, and it causes many emotions. Again, I have seen people commit suicide, and then somebody that's close to them, family or friends, have questions and even get to the point of blaming themselves because they, thinking in their mind, I could have done something to stop this. And they spend the rest of their life blaming themselves. Now, in the article, I put three questions in there and tried to answer them. And here's the first question. Can a Christian commit suicide and still be saved? Turn to 1 John. In 1 John chapter 3. Now, I would not debate this with anybody, and I will sound like I'm talking from both sides of my mouth here when I come to this, but I want you to just think it through with me. Can a Christian commit suicide? Well, let me just say this as I started off. Those in the Bible that committed suicide, they were in bad company. And everyone that's listed in the Bible that committed suicide were in rebellion against God. But there is one of them that is recorded in the Hall of Faith, the Heroes of Faith, in Hebrews chapter 11. So that's something to think about. Now, I could never give anybody hope and assurance that has committed suicide or planned to do it. I couldn't give them hope and assurance. I preached a funeral here. Sister Joanna knows this. I think you might have been there. I'm not sure. Preached a funeral of a man that committed suicide in our area. I'd never met him before, and he was on drugs when this happened. I could not preach him into heaven. I could only preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the people and the family. That's the only way I could comfort him. I told them in the sermon, I said, I cannot place this man in heaven. So when we come to this subject, can a Christian commit suicide? I'm just going to say to you that I cannot give anyone hope and assurance that this person is in heaven if they took their own life. But let me make this statement as well. At the same time, I'm not sure that it would be the unpardonable sin. And another thing I'll add to that, it is hard, and I'm going to use this man again as an example. It is hard to overlook many, many years of faithful service to the Lord for one act of disobedience. Are you with me? I'm not asking you to agree with me, but you understand what I'm saying? In other words, God is the judge of this whole thing, not you and I. And I don't really have to debate the issue because that individual must stand before God. Now let's read here and then I'm going to come back to this story. Notice in chapter 3, and I'm reading from verse 15. This is the story of Cain and Abel. It actually begins up around verse 9, 10, 11, 12. But notice he says here in verse 15, he said, "And whosoever hateth his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer hath eternal life abiding in him." So we can never really give anybody assurance and hope because suicide leaves no room for repentance. It's the end of all opportunities, period, when somebody takes their life. But we do read about Samson that pulled the pillars in on himself and his enemy, and we find him in the book of Hebrews. We know that Judas Iscariot went to hell. We know that without a doubt. So again, these are just some things to think about. Now, let me come back for the third time with this man in my church. He wasn't a young man. I mean, he had a daughter that was 18 years of age. Let me come back to him just for a moment. This man had been to the doctor the day that he killed himself. This man was given the wrong medications from the doctor. This man was handicapped from the time he was a child. As a young child, he had become handicapped. And the very Sunday that I preached, that Sunday, he's sitting in the congregation, my first Sunday in this church, period, my first Sunday, and so that evening, we had walked over to his home. I used his phone. We didn't have cell phones back then. I used his phone. My wife and him are sitting talking. We're just trying to get to know him, and I'm using his phone. Now, I'm standing talking on the phone, looking at him and my wife. Now, when he walked up to the door, and I didn't know all of his problems, he had to take one hand and hold his wrist. He had to take and hold his wrist so he could get the key into the door. This man was handicapped from a young child. And as my wife and him sat there in his mobile home talking, I'm on the phone, and the phone's hanging on the wall. Some of you have never seen one of those. And it's hanging on the wall, and I'm looking at him, and I've just almost lost my conversation. I said, there's something wrong. But I don't really know this man. And when we got through, we got out and left. We got in the car. I told Arlene, I said, there's something wrong with this man. And so I was supposed to meet with him the next day. We were trying to move into a house that I had just tried to rent that night. And the next day, as my wife and I was working, we were trying to move some furniture into this house. We both got weak and sick at our stomach. I don't mean real sick, but just weak and sick, and we both looked at each other. There's something wrong. And by the time we drove from there back to where we stayed in this little camper while we was trying to get stuff in a house, we had somebody to meet us and say that this man had took his own life. Now, my point in all of that, I'm not very judgmental with that. Due to his health, the doctor's wrong medication, and all that he was going through, you know, I leave that alone. This man had been in this church for years and years and years, faithful. He had even taught in that church. He was the one, I was told, that held the church together until they got a pastor, which was myself. And so I am very careful. This man was a mechanic, a good mechanic. What are some of the reasons? What are some of the reasons that causes suicide? Now, we know that demonic possession can do that. We know that. But there's a lot of other reasons. The devil will do anything he can. There's even children that commit suicide, young children. And that's so tragic. We know that in John 10, I'm going to ask you to turn to Philippians chapter 1. We know that in John chapter 10, that the Lord Jesus talked about coming. He's the door. He come to give life. And we know that the devil, that he's a thief, and he cometh to steal and to kill and destroy. We know that there's many reasons. Alcoholism, drugs, bankruptcy, bad health, guilt, failure. I think I put some of these in the article. A failed marriage, fear, depression, disappointment, mental disorder, troubles, hopelessness. humanistic teachings, broken hearts. I mean, there's thousands of reasons that people commit suicide. Crisis, mistakes that they feel like they can never overcome or get right, to escape responsibilities, revenge, nothing to live for, shame. I mean, there's just hundreds and thousands of reasons that people take their own life. And many people have said, well, I just wish I'd have never been born. Have you ever said that? I would be better off if I was dead, and others would be better off. Many have said those kind of things. You know that Job and Elijah and David and Jeremiah and others, that many of them desired death at times. In 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 4, Elijah just wanted to die. He went out and he just told God, he said, kill me, I'm tired of everything. And he wanted to die. And David, Jeremiah, but you know what? They never took their lives. They got sad. They got disappointed. Failures, or at least failures in their own eyes. And they got disappointed and they just asked the Lord, said, just take my life. But you know what they ultimately done? Job was this way. Job got down. And he's asking God, why are these things going on in my life? But you know what he done? He said, though he slay me, I will trust him. That's the solution. The solution to suicide is in Isaiah 26, verse 3 and 4. One of Sister Joanna's favorite verses. Trust in the Lord, that perfect peace that he gives to us. The only thing that will keep us all from destroying ourselves. The thing that keeps us from smoking ourselves to death, drinking ourselves to death, taking drugs, taking our own life, or whatever the case may be, is that peace and joy and hope that we have in Jesus Christ. I mean, outside of Christ, all there is in this life is to go to school for 17, 18 years and get a job and work until you die, you know, and you work all your life and die. I mean, that's kind of depressing when you think about it. Now, when you bring in Christ into this and the kingdom of God, and that we have a reason for living, a reason for making money, and, you know, and a reason for raising these kids up to love God and whatever, so it becomes bright and joyous. But I mean, outside of the Lord, I mean, my goodness, what's the use of even living through this life? Because life is not easy. How many of you figured that out? There's hardships and there's pain and anguish and disappointments and failures in life. But when we look at it through the spectacles of the Scripture, then there's something wonderful here. God has a wonderful plan for every one of our lives, and God is going to reward us in eternity. So that's the solution to suicide. And some, by the way, some commit slow suicide. They smoke themselves to death for 40 years. And some, you know, commit suicide slowly by drinking themselves to death, you know, or taking drugs, things of that nature. That's just slow forms of suicide. They're killing themselves. They're doing themselves harm. There's websites that's been up for years to teach you how to kill yourself. There's music. There's music that glorifies suicide. There's the assisted suicide. We see about two cases in the Bible where somebody, hey, help me kill myself, or you take my life, you know. I think it's Saul that said that, and I don't think the armor bearer helped him. I forget which one that got help, and they did do it. So there's assisted suicide we even see back there. And we see that a lot today. Lies of Satan to take your life, that you don't mean anything to anybody. And God says you're precious in His sight. Our birth, our life, even our death is precious in the eyes of the Lord when we've lived for Him and given our life to Him. Now notice, as we come here to our last text, we're going to be reading in Philippians chapter 1, Let me read verse 21 and then back up and read verse 20 through 26. In verse 21, we find the Apostle Paul saying, For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Now here's a man that had a good balance of life, and he says, you know, whether he's living for the glory of God, if he dies, and he even says it'd be far better if he could go on to be of the Lord. But you never find Paul taking his life. You never find Paul even wanting to take his life. Now let's read the whole text and consider it together here this morning. And by the way, in life, there can be a lot of discouragement. Give you an example, and I've got a message on this. But think about this in life, past, present, and future. It's very easy for us to get discouraged over failure of yesterday. I mean, you think about this, the mistakes that we've made. You know what? I'll never allow anybody to bring up my past. I'll never allow anybody, any mistakes I've made in the past, that's under the blood and it's in the past. But failures of yesterday can destroy us if we wallow around in that, we'll drown in that. What about frustrations of today? These things will discourage us if we're not careful. And then fears of tomorrow. Now that's the thing that really gets us, the fears of tomorrow. And there can be fears. If we don't totally trust God, there can be many fears of tomorrow, from the economy to health to a number of things, wars and nuclear wars, and we could go on and on with a list of things. We could live in total fear. And God says that that's wrong. So these are some of the things, the failures of yesterday, the frustrations of today, and the fears of tomorrow. These are three things in our past, present, and future that can totally drown us. So now let's notice what the Apostle Paul here says. He says here in verse 20, I'm going to read from verse 20 through 26, and then we're going to bring this to a close. And he says here in this passage, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, yet what I shall choose I want not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. In verse 26, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Paul is just simply saying, he's saying he has a desire to be of the Lord. He has a desire to be in His presence. And he said it's not his choice. God chooses the day that we leave this earth to go be with the Lord. And he said it's more needful for me to be here, to be a blessing to others. See, he desired to be with his Savior, but he says it was more needful for him to be upon this earth, to be a blessing to others. So I leave with you this morning is that suicide is a sin against God. It's violating the sixth commandment. It's destroying the image and similitude of God. It's bringing, and number two, it brings harm to ourselves. And that's clear as we consider the whole subject. And number three, it is a sin against others. And this is something that most people miss in all of this. It is a sin. It destroys sometimes the lives of others. I've seen husbands and I've seen wives and I've seen children and I've seen them live for years and years afterwards thinking that they were part of the reason that someone had taken their life. Would you stand with me this morning? And I pray that we would as we look at this, we would come to this with a sober mind and also compassion, but come with a scriptural point of view. And if we see any signs in someone that this could be a reality, that we would pray for them, that we would rush to their rescue if there's any possibility of doing so. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day and for Thy love, Thy mercy, Thy kindness to us. And Lord, help us daily to realize that we belong to You. Even our physical body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And Lord, that we've been bought with a price. You're not only our Creator, but You're our Redeemer. And we have been created in Thy image. And Lord, that shows us Your love and Your concern and mercy to us. And Lord, help us to be compassionate toward others. For it's in Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.